Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 59, episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, the podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness using the headlines, box office reports, TV ratings, and what's trending on Google and social meds. We're also going to take a look at what's trending on Amazon, because it is Cyber Monday. Happy Cyber Monday, everyone. It's Monday, November 26, 2018. I'm doing voices like it's a morning zoo show. My name is... There it is.
There it is. Get those doorbusters.
That's my boy Miles coming in hot.
What's up? It's your boy Fartman.
My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Come on, Jackie, let's go party. O'Brien. Come on, Jackie, let's go party. Zeitgang. That is courtesy of Jose Antonio Reyes, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Jealousy, AC toilets for Big D's, Howard Dean sick battle cry, Trump choking on his alibis, but it's just the Miles Gray, these hot takes are calling me, open up my eager mouths. Cause it's Daily Zeitgeist.
Wow. Thank you to Deanna at D'Elise for that Mr. Brightside anthem.
Classic rock.
Thank you so much. Came in a little stumbled on the beginning, but hey, you know, we're pushing through. Recovered well. That's the name of my game.
Usain Bolt 100, where he like stumbled out of the gate and then just still like lapped everyone.
Exactly.
Somehow.
That's how that was the AKA equivalent of someone singing Mr.
Certainly
Bright,
was.
Brightside.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the great Caitlin Gilf.
What's up? What's it's Caitlin Gilf in the morning. Caitlin Gilf, the roller skating grandma that you wanna. I didn't say it. Did you say it? No.
Caitlin Gilf.
Serving up some TNA. That's Tuesday AM radio, baby. Yeah.
You're too good at this. I think if I was listening,
this is a character that's lived inside me for years. I hear
slowly
this voice
in
my
sleep. Oh, wow.
I also brought my little buddy Major, who was very disturbed by this personality that she doesn't really know. Lurks within me.
Hot Lips has not seen this.
Mommy is terrifying.
I don't know whether to be impressed or call an exorcist. Am I right?
It does not bolster trust in a relationship.
I need you to take me seriously right now.
Caitlin, we're going to get to know you, the real you,
a little bit
better in a moment. But first, we're going to tell our listeners what we're talking about today. Today is a special consumer guide edition. I don't know, not really. But we're going to talk about some of the top purchases trending on Amazon. We're going to talk about what the hell Black Friday and Cyber Monday are exactly.
This?
What is all this shit? Just consumerism in general. We might even engage in consumerism by giving a shout out to a corporation that is doing something cool in the news, which is our new like form of patronage now.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, woke capitalism.
But first, Caitlin, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Oh, God. Okay, so I had to write an Ariana Grande song parody, which was a thing. I am 37 and my head is in the sand. I'm not aware of all pop culture. I didn't know I had heard an Ariana Grande song. It turns out I had.
Yeah.
I succeeded in writing the song parody because I am out of touch, but I am still good at puns. but I also then fell down the rabbit hole. I did a little searching of Ariana Grande, less revealing than the fact that I found out that I like Mac Miller a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm having this like backwards morning where like I didn't think I was allowed. I just have a very like, oh, I'm not cool for that vibe,
right,
where I like don't know. I don't think dorks are allowed. Like,
nah,
especially
music.
Not with any kind of hip hop, which is definitively, it's always cool. It's always like a head of a curve of some kind that I'm like, oh no, a curve. So I did a little deep dive into Mac Miller and like reading about Mac, and then finding other like, you know, oh, maybe there's good music right now. I'm from California. But I read a lot and then listened to a lot of Mac Miller. My Spotify is confused.
Right. Yeah, your Discover playlist is
how many
be
times
wild.
Did you listen to Thank You Next? And also, how many times are you listening to this 26-year-old tell you about his existential pain?
Right. Yes. And you're like, it's connecting?
It's a lot.
He's definitely one who I got into more after he passed, which is a bummer.
Yeah, he's got some good records.
Yeah.
And I was always kind of, I liked his production a lot. I think that was one of the things that really set him apart for me was like, I really like the beats that you rhyme on because they're not like your typical usual, top 20 hip hop.
It does have a sound that's like... Oh yes, you are. To me, it was like distinctly of his character, which is like, you were a suburban Jewish kid. Like this is jazzy. Somebody in your house had a jazz record on and was like, "This is swinging," and it sunk into you in a way that I can appreciate. Like, is a little different. It's just
Was he Jewish?
I think so. Yes, I believe that James is part McCormick? Of what I learned on my in my deep dive. Am I wrong?
Malcolm James.
I have
McCormick?
No idea. Confirm. I just don't.
I could be totally wrong. And confuse it with one of the other rappers that I looked
into. No, his mother is Jewish. Father Christian, mother Jewish. Raised Jewish, had a bar mitzvah.
Well, there
Boom.
You go. It seemed to be... I think I watched a video from Source. I don't know. I just...
They're like, yeah, I watched his bar mitzvah video. It was really good.
He was, he would always rival Drake as the best Jew in the rap game, is what he would say.
That's what I remember.
Caitlin, what is something that's overrated?
Turkey.
Okay.
Yeah, the country. Turkey is no. Well, the country it's pretty cool.
Now this being
be
Monday, you are just stuffed to the gills on Turkey. That's fun. I'll show myself out. Why is Turkey overrated?
It's a dry bird. It is always too much. It's too much to prepare. People don't handle it regularly. It's only sold once a year. It's a weird business to be in culture. It's just not a delicious bird.
Yeah.
It's not
that's what
good.
I said. I said we just have this sentimental connection to it that's like we habitually eat it.
And I don't think we know it's bad. Many of us are not that great at cooking anymore, so it's just like, this tastes like other bad food that I've made. But like, no, it is bad. Yeah. It is difficult to make good. It
is, unless you deep fry it or brine it, I feel like.
You have to brine it. If you're not brining it.
You're a fool.
What are you doing?
You should be putting salt and herbs and butter under the skin.
Yes. Okay. If you don't know how to brine, rub together a lot of salt and some sugar and a bunch of spices, whatever you like, and then lift up the skin of your bird with your hands, with your gross, gross hands, and you shove it in. You shove that mixture in and stick it in your fridge. It doesn't have to be a big pot of water. It can be a dry brine. Yeah. That is equally delicious.
Some helpful information for you this 3 days after Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot that you already did that. If you didn't brine your turkey, my apologies. Yeah,
you get another shot, though.
We know this in pre or post tense. Your turkey was not satisfying. You labored on it for hours. You followed every instruction that you could possibly find, and still, it was a disappointing protein on the plate.
But it is nice because, like, I've had a good turkey. So it's like, it's you know, I'm on the edge of my seat every Thanksgiving. Like, will this be the one where I have another good turkey? And it never is. And also, I would agree that it's just, like, there's nothing about the turkey that makes that preparation better. Like, if you did that to chicken, it would be better. It would be a moister, better tasting bird.
Delicious, juicy, as we say.
Well, that segues neatly into what I view as being underrated.
What's that?
Which is every poultry except for turkey.
Yeah.
I like chicken.
Yeah.
I'm not knocking chicken under the bed, so to speak.
as they say.
But like, have you ever had yourself a Christmas goose?
I haven't. I was actually just talking about how that is a thing that seems to have fallen out of fashion after Scrooge.
Yeah, wait. Yeah. What the fuck? Why aren't we eating goose?
Rich.
Yeah. I've never had a goose.
It's meatier. It's got, it's as the fat renders, it's a fattier bird. As it pulls out, it just develops more character than you're going to get from a turkey. Also, geese are just like, because they're less commonly eating. I mean, this is the thing where like I blow up a spot and then it's like no good anymore.
Right.
But it's just, it's not around. Geese are still delicious. So they're just tasty.
Did you grow up eating geese?
And cook them the same darn way. We've had a couple geese.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's the fact that, you know, in America, geese are all over the place. And sometimes, like, I've come into contact with a lot of goose shit. And I wonder if, like, that's true for most people. Like, you don't run into a lot of wild turkeys, but you run into a lot of wild geese.
Hey, I mean, speak for yourself.
Right. I mean, that's...
That's got to be regional.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, it's probably regional.
Because I've run into wild turkeys.
Yeah, you see them out.
They are aggressively stupid.
Yeah, very
the
dumb.
The wild turkey.
They're
I understand why we ate and wanted to eat them.
Yeah, right. They're very dumb.
I mean, I have my problems with factory farming or whatever, but if you've ever met a turkey in the wild, you're like, yeah, okay, dinner.
Yeah.
Like, if it's me or you, it's going to be right. you, turkey. Maybe you're fighting with your reflection in a pond.
Maybe it's like geese are kind of beautiful in a way.
Whereas, yeah, or maybe like, you see them out and more. Ugly.
I don't know, yeah. man. Are you trying to tell me a turkey ain't pretty? Because geese just got that like flat gray thing going on, very modern, very sleek. The turkey, spotted, mottled, kind of neat looking, a little wild. It's, I don't know, what do you want? Like your lawyer's house or your grandma's house? It's
That's
a different
true.
Design.
Yeah,
different
yeah,
design
yeah.
aesthetic.
But equally, they're equal, you know? But goose actually, no, goose is more fat.
I think goose is tasty. I think duck is tasty.
I love duck.
I think
yeah.
a bunch of like Cornish game hens, like one for a guest.
But duck
like
is a bird, too,
bird.
That some if you don't know how to cook it, you could fuck duck breast up or a whole duck.
Tell
very
me you're not
going to
mess up a turkey?
Yeah.
It's a little
true.
Bit more forgiving because people know what bad turkey tastes like. Yeah. And bad duck is like, I don't know, this is aggressively bad.
Yeah, or some people are just like, oh, this is fine. And then you'll have like, I remember there was an episode, I think it was Bourdain, who was like with some guys who were like duck hunting. And he was watching them cook it. And he's like, my
it's
man,
not
like,
be
let
good.
Me cook
right.
this.
It's
let me show you. And they were like, holy shit.
Ooh.
Whoa, this is, whoa.
Okay. It doesn't have to taste like shit.
Oh,
we
I
just
once
like killing
set back duck confit in a restaurant with
oh,
a very
wow.
sophisticated review of what had went wrong. I'm a monster. Yeah. I know duck can go wrong, but
yeah,
it's...
man, but confit, like you're just cooking it in the fat, baby.
You're yeah, you're just
that
leaving
up.
It. Was dry. It was sawdusty. I sliced a piece for the waiter, and he got embarrassed. He was with me. It was a slow night.
It sounded
he was
like
willing
you were cutting
to talk about
cardboard.
It. Oh, it was, you couldn't eat. It was not good. I won't reveal the name of the restaurant. The service was too kind, but it was. I've had
local.
Bad duck.
Yeah.
What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
I don't think that tryptophan is actually what makes you tired. I think we made that up to blame the turkey for our problems.
Mm-hmm.
I think we fucking ate too much.
Yes.
I think you need to stop identifying chemicals that are sort of in a bird.
Right.
There's a million things that make you sleepy. Are you trying to name a compound?
Right.
I'm sorry. Like, you're trying to say that a potato doesn't have poison in it?
Right.
Like,
right.
You literally nightshaded yourself next to the turkey.
Yeah.
But it's
right.
the tryptophan that's
right.
making you tired. I don't know. I'm sleepy. It must be that one element of the 7-pound plate I just ate. No.
Yeah. Just,
no.
It was that bite of turkey I had.
Yeah, I don't think that's it.
Because, you know, when I eat a turkey sandwich,
I'm asleep.
I can't
minutes
drive.
Minutes later. Yeah, you know, it's dangerous.
I think the amount of tryptophan you would need is not going to be present in a single or even multiple servings of turkey.
Yeah,
I think you need to eat an entire bird straight to the dome.
Yes.
And at that point, it is, you have bigger problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you could house a whole turkey breast, my goodness, could you imagine? Because
right.
those things are What happened? What did they do?
There's a tone in your voice of respect
that
I just want to,
well, because
it's really resonant.
It's something is, I feel like something is so, because, you know, like a lot of factory farmed poultry, like they give them the hormones to make the breast meat even more substantial eating or whatever.
Oh, yes.
Like, isn't that like, I thought like wild turkeys aren't that massive, right? Than like the ones we buy.
They're definitely, I mean, I think chickens and turkeys are both like, you know, getting those like.
Yeah, just
double J cup style implant.
Right.
Just that whatever.
There might be enough tryptophan in there. Hey, who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
We'll never know because you're eating too much other shit.
I contend that myth is false.
You're not just contending. That is scientifically accurate. So
my instincts
right
are right.
On. Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I like it when that happens.
All right. We're going to take a look at what is trending on Amazon heading into this shopping holiday of ours. Cyber Monday.
Happy Cyber Monday, everybody.
Happy Cyber Monday. Happy Dollar Day.
And we are going to bring in Soups Produce Anna Hosnier to kind of review these products with us.
Oh, heck yes.
Because you love a good deal. You like a good shop.
Anna's been talking about deals for weeks.
Yeah.
She's got deals for weeks.
Yes, I love a good deal.
Your nickname is Deals. Anna Deals Hosnier.
I felt the Z at the end of that.
Yeah.
Deals.
No, my middle name is Dilly Dilly.
Oh no! Hey. Oh no!
Yeah,
oh, no.
I was saying that should be the myth that's not funny because it's hilarious. Dilly Dilly stuff. Come on, guys.
Yeah, all right, man.
Keep it coming. All right, so we have it broken out in the categories Amazon has it broken out in, and we took a look at the charts for toys and games. And the thing that jumped out to me is that LOL Surprise, these toys, so they take up like 5 of the top 25 spots, these various LOL Surprises, LOL's Surprise. And they are basically unboxing videos, the home edition. It's just a box or an egg that has like 40 to 60 other boxes to open inside of it.
Okay, Jack, you're exaggerating. It's 7 surprises.
Oh.
Okay.
I was looking. I was looking at the suitcase one, which is 60.
Oh my
40.
God. Yes. Well, how many LOL surprises are in that one?
I think 40.
It's
maybe.
Just basically a sphere that you keep peeling away and you're like, oh, which cheap toy is in the middle of this thing? And then you end up with like a tiny little figurine that doesn't really look that fun to play with. Like, the joints aren't articulated or anything?
No, it's the equivalent of one of those like grocery store vending machine bubble pack toys that you get for a quarter.
We call that gachapon in Japan.
Yes, yeah. Yes, you do. And
isn't it an onomatopoeia?
Yeah, gachapon, yeah. Most Japanese, so many Japanese words are onomatopoeia.
So good.
But I get this. As much as I want to be like, this is like the death of consumerism, or this proves consumerism is at its end point, I get it, because they've basically taken the best part of Christmas, which is the opening of the presents and like the act of opening it and being like, oh, it's a thing, and just commodified that, like turned that into the process itself. Or
right.
The gift
I'm
itself.
Sorry, and you don't view that as bleak.
No, it is bleak. It's definitely bleak, but I also, I don't know, I also get why...
It was
inevitable.
Yeah.
And why I want all 5 of the top 25.
That's like with Hatchimals, too. It's like the other kind of thing of like, you don't, it's one of those toys where you don't know what you're getting.
Yes.
So you put the work in to know what you got.
Right. It's also kind of like a lazy parent thing. Like, look at this box filled with things I didn't really have to think about.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Enjoy.
And now you have nothing.
Yeah.
LOL, surprise, your dad's a deadbeat. Wow. Give me this toy.
I suppose for every parent that took like extra effort to assemble a toy, took the care to go get it, drove to an extra store because it was out, and then built it and wrapped it the night before, and then the kid opens it and plays with the box. I think next year you get him one of these.
Yes.
Right.
That's right.
You know, that's,
You like boxes, huh?
Yeah, you already got your bike that I built my battered hand.
Right.
Yeah.
Now you want a skateboard.
And that's absolutely true. My last year, 1-year-old, his favorite thing by far was just playing with the wrapping paper and tearing it up.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, he did not give a shit about the stuff that was inside.
You should just get him a box of wrapping paper.
Can I ask, as the parent of a very young child, isn't everything you do for them at that age sort of for you?
Yes.
Yeah. It's got to feel good. You're trying to keep it alive. And it's soft just everywhere. But at some point, like, you wrapped it so you could sort of watch it try to open it.
It's funny because, so now I have yes. It
sorry,
is.
It's it until it,
it
talks
is Pennywise.
To me. I don't know what else to do with babies.
So our 2-year-old is starting to turn into a human being. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm realizing how much of everything up to this point was for us, because we also have an 8-month-old who is just like, we're like, oh, you're not going to remember.
You're doing, yeah, you're not.
We don't have to pay attention.
This guy's
to
a
you.
Joke.
Yeah, this guy's a fucking joke.
This guy doesn't get it.
But yeah, so the lulls surprise are crushing it. It also seems like this is just the beginning, because they're the only ones who have, it's just one brand, lull surprise. I guess Hatchables are like the artistic version where you have to like wait for the thing to hatch.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it seems like someone needs to upscale this, because they are very like cheap looking. So I'm sure somebody's going to have like gift packs.
I'm sure you could get like adults to do this if the inside was like a fun sports athlete. What am I from? Fucking Mars? I had to catch myself.
A fun sports athlete.
Fun sport. But you know what I mean? Like, like it's the same thing like with those pop toys, those like vinyl figures that they have for like Marvel that people lose their shit over. Like, if you add the element of, hey, it might be a LOL surprise. But I don't know. Maybe adults are too like about their collecting and be like, I can't risk getting duplicates. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that you could run that risk with a LOL surprise.
You're it kind of makes me think of like an advent calendar, but you know how they have like fancy ones where it's like they have, I remember 1 year I got a L'Occitane advent calendar. Sorry, I just had a brain
aneurysm.
And it was like kind of amazing, because like every day I got a little tiny lotion.
Yeah, no, the Catholic Church was definitely the first lull surprise. Yeah. We've all been saying that. But yeah, I just feel like eventually somebody's going to put something in there that is like, it's all Apple products.
Also, shout out to Monopoly, still in the top 20, but only because they managed to just add, like, co-opt another brand or IP to make it sellable.
What
so
brand
Fortnite
is that?
Monopoly?
Monopoly Fortnite.
Which is amazing. I was in Big Bear, and like, I was at a tourist store that just does like Big Bear t-shirts or whatever. And one just had a, like, one of the Fortnite characters on it and just said Big Bear on it. And I was like, what the f-? Like, this is lazy now. Like, right. I was like, hey, man, if it says Fortnite, people are going to fucking buy it.
They're like,
and
it's they a will. Skin.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe that's for a really out-of-touch parent. Because is a kid who's playing Fortnite being like, you know what I really want to do is put down my fucking game controller and play Monopoly that will go on for ages.
For many right. hours. Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah.
I don't know. That is definitely exclusively a gift. Yeah. And not
do you
something.
Think Fortnite came knocking on Monopoly's door? No. Or is there someone who works for Monopoly that's just like the hustler? That's no. just yeah. going yeah. out to every brand, like, come here, Golden Girls. Not only are you Clue, you're gonna be Monopoly.
They're just thirsty. They're like, hey, man, come on, man, let's do a Game of Thrones Monopoly, man.
I'll make you a shoe. Please. You could be the Iron.
I'll kiss you.
You want to be the Iron.
Yeah,
like, I'll kiss you.
Anything, man, just also, please. Monopoly's dead.
Jenga's still on the list.
Yeah, Jenga. There are some classics that are still on there that's kind of, I don't know if it's reassuring.
Do you think years ago Jenga just made 7 billion Jengas and was like, eventually, these will all be gone.
We'll just change the box.
Play-Doh is still on there, just like the 10-pack with just tiny bits of different colored Play-Doh. Lego is still there, but it's a Star Wars branding thing. So,
But Lego, it will always. They're just an ever-present, I feel.
And Miles, we...
Lego gives me hope for the future. Yeah. The unboxing thing made me a little bit sad, but I'm pretty sad and angry about my position in capitalism in general. So, that just tapped into a deeper well of pain and rage.
I think
Legos make me happy.
I think on a past episode, I talked about how my favorite Christmas gift of all time was a magic set, like my first magic trick magic
set. That's a great Christmas gift.
And that is number 14 trending on Amazon currently.
Done.
My first magic show, but it's probably a better version than the
cup and ball.
cup and ball.
That's very,
yeah.
And you lose the balls immediately.
Yeah.
I'm really into this game called Don't Step in It, and it looks like you like lay it out and there's little shit pieces everywhere, and then you're not supposed to, you like blindfold yourself. And then
she is not joking. That is the number 21 thing.
And then you try and not step in shit.
And then there's
is white. That is an invented problem. Oh my, if that's a level of excitement you need in your life,
Listen,
you have to pretend to risk to step on shit.
Yeah.
If that's where your excitement comes from,
it's called,
that is a deep privilege you
need to
examine.
You are comfortable as fuck.
You can buy fake shit to feel the rush of maybe stepping on shit.
Of being a barefoot person.
Blindfolded poop dodging fun.
Yes. And next to it is Don't Step in It Unicorn Edition, where the poop is just not brown colored. It is like multicolored, like a unicorn frappuccino.
Genius.
Play with friends or dodge the
poop. You can say
solo.
It's gay shit. That's the gay.
For the gays.
It's fine.
You know, you get it.
I'm here. I know which edition I'm getting.
And I'm going to buy it.
The spirograph is still up here. The thing that like spins around and you draw
is it just
because
like we're becoming parents, our generation? So we're like, we're just like, it's the cycle's coming back. We're like, yeah, I used to fucking use a spirograph. My kid will like that and Jenga and Monopoly and all this other shit.
I feel
skip it.
Most definitely. I mean, half of that stuff is things our parents gave us.
Right.
Except for the skip it. I mean, you filter in the toys that you brought to the table. It's all, if it's blocks that stack, it probably wasn't our generation that built it. Like,
that's
something that we inherited.
Something that is new, or at least was not my generation, that we talked about at the end of last week is the Elf on a Shelf, or the Elf on the Shelf, a Christmas tradition. And this is one of the top trending, quote, toys, but it's clearly a thing for parents. Behavior modification tool. Miles, can you explain? Because we had a Zeitgang member explain this
it was
a little
bit
better to
us. Cultural exchange opportunity. Someone tell me. And Tom Barrett was kind enough, at TomBarrett82, was saying that Elf on the Shelf is about influencing kids' behavior. It moves at night to return and tell Santa that the kids have been good all day. If it doesn't move, they did something naughty. And yes, you can find fun locations in the house. Side benefit, if you forget/fail to move it, go, what happened at school yesterday? So I guess, that makes sense if you could just gaslight your child into believing this elf is omniscient and sees you.
And there's no daily gift giving. Correct? Because
from what I understand. I don't know.
Maybe like really spoiled kids get gifts if every time the elf moves. I heard Cousin Sal on the Bill Simmons podcast be like, and then you have to give him a gift every day. I was like,
no, that's how you make shitty fucking adult.
Yeah.
This is all how you make, this is all bad. None of this is good. First of all, like almost, I have to give respect that Santa is a totally manufactured holiday illusion.
Right.
Only wears red because of Coca-Cola, kind of only been around since the 50s, like whatever.
Right.
You want to, but hats off to the brand that's like, not only are we going to do the same thing with Elf on the Shelf, but we'll make it Santa's evil assistant.
Right.
It's not like Santa's trademark. You don't have to call Monopoly to ask first. You can just fucking make that.
Well, they appropriate.
And to make it just as a gaslight for your kids. Crazy.
There's a Brazilian tradition that it's basically their Santa Claus, but he is like constantly surveilling people. So it's not like he knows when you're like magically, he just knows.
He's tapping your phone.
Yeah, he's tapping. Yeah.
He's bugged your fucking bedroom.
Right. So they basically just put that into a plastic figurine and we're like, here you go.
And
we are going to make millions off of our version, which just has a little camera in it.
Yeah, exactly. I sort of assumed that the Elf on the Shelf had a camera in it by now. I do like the universal truth that children lose respect for their parents. Literally every culture that's had kids has a myth about some external beast that watches your kids, judges their behavior, and then acts accordingly.
Right.
You know, whether it's like a Krampus, like an evil sort of thing, or a Santa, a rewarding sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Parents throughout all ages have had to use a mythical external figure to manipulate their child's behavior, who no longer has any respect for them. Who knows when the respect cutoff comes? In the Middle Ages, was it younger, older? Who knows? But at some point, parents need a myth to make their children behave.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Carrot and the stick.
Except
the stick in this case is coal. Even children inherently know coal sucks as an energy source.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with electronics, camera, photo, video games, and books. And we're back. So electronics is not super interesting because Amazon has either ruthlessly weighted the list or the product offerings so that you only see Amazon products, because all of their top 50 is just different Amazon products. There is a single Apple product, which I guess this is a new development that they're selling Apple products at all.
Yeah, but I think they're just starting to like combine forces of like, hey, well, you sell our shit on your Behemoth website.
Yeah. So not a whole lot to see there. There's a bunch of Echoes Dot and other things.
A lot of Fuji Instax stuff. Yeah.
Well, so camera photo is its own section, and it's just all Fuji Instax. It's those little instant camera, Polaroid cameras that are really fun at parties and leave you with a giant stack of pictures that you'll never look at again unless you get some sort of display receptacle. So that would be my recommendation to anybody who is investing in some Instax, is get like some sort of frame or something.
Yeah. I'm Frames going by to O'Brien. Your business, your launching.
Yeah, exactly.
How mad are the good people at Polaroid right now?
I mean,
a 15-year drop-off in interest led to the total devastation of a company that, like, was one of the last ones to employ people for their whole career. It was just sort of the sunset of a whole age of our economy. And now, just through nostalgia, I'm sure the people who own insects are not this, but in my mind, they're, like, 19-year-olds on a one-wheel just speeding down a giant hallway past an open concept office.
This has nothing to do with Polaroid?
No, it's Fujifilm. Polaroid is its own company.
Yeah. Right.
And I think, I don't know if they make the cameras anymore, but they do make the film. Like, the film only just came back. Because I think when they shut down, everyone's like, oh my God, there's not going to be Polaroid film
people
anymore.
People went a little crazy and had to buy, like, you know, kind of their doomsday supply of Kodak film.
And so they're back, baby.
There are 10. Polaroid is actually at number 9, like their color film. But there's like 10 Fuji just ripoffs of Polaroid ahead of it.
It's a cruel world.
It is a cruel, cruel world. That's the first thing you need to know about capitalism. So get frames for your Fuji Instax. Let's move on to video games, guys. I am like a person from Mars or an alien from Mars.
A fun sports athlete.
Yeah, a fun sports athlete. Put one of those in your gift box. But I'm kind of coming at this from an outsider's perspective. Miles, you were explaining to me that because it seems like PS4 and Nintendo Switch are dominating and Xbox is a little bit sparse.
Yeah, well, I think that's just, we're looking at Amazon's, you know, sales. Because once, you know, everyone is going to do sales on every conceivable video game product. I mean, the top thing is always like if you play PlayStation, getting that PlayStation Plus
12-month membership.
Right.
You always buy it on Black Friday because it's like usually like $30 more or something when you don't, or $20 more. And then, you know, the games that the children's are playing, I'm a little pissed. If I had just waited a little bit longer, I could get Red Dead for cheaper. But,
yeah, duh.
You know, them's,
everybody,
that's just how it goes down.
Dudes who left work early to try to play that game all week. Yeah, the insanity that that game caused.
Yeah. Anna, what's your take on that? You saw your significant other.
You know, while I was working on my pooping cross stitch last night, my...
S.O.?
My partner was playing the game, and it seemed like you were just living a life. It was not, I don't know. Like, there was parts where
it's
they
like
were just
Sims.
Like, he was buying and, you know, getting rid of a horse and buying a new horse because the other horse was a little lame and tired. And then at one point, he goes to some weird old guy who's like... hanging out at a farm and is like, tell me the story of something, some guy. And then the old cracky dude was like, I ain't telling you anything until you shovel my shit. And so then
you shovel my shit?
Yes. Yeah, so then he had to, in order to get a story, he had to shovel some shit. And then in the end, they just decided that the old guy was full of shit anyway. Like, they were like, you don't know anything. Like, it was like, what game is this?
There's a lot of activity you can do around the main story that would be very tedious. Because I remember, like, when Yusuf was on, he was talking about the Zelda game where it's like, you're just cooking and eating and shit. And there's a lot of that in Red Dead where you're like, hey, I'm going to sit down and cook this game, big game meat I got. And, you know, eat it. But there's, you know, when you get into it, though, there's plenty
to do. Well, there was also
do.
A part where he just had to lay, like, a trap for a bear and then just wait for the bear to come. I was like, this is the game? Like, that's it. Who, do you kill anyone?
Like, he's like, in-game whittling.
Yeah. Yeah.
The thing I've been most amused by with Red Dead is following, like, tweets from people frustrated by how apparently complicated the controls are.
Yeah.
Huh. I think it was Andrew Overdahl that said something like, great, instead of ride off with all my friends after this heist, why don't I just punch my horse until it falls down? Like, it's just, I guess there's controls.
I've been in terrible horse accidents in that game. That's one thing they did change. Like, before, you couldn't just run into a tree. Like, man, I've nearly died many times on my horse just from hitting a pole or a tree branch or whatever.
The other thing is, at one point, he just has like a deep conversation with another character in the game where he's like, so do you miss Debbie? And he's like, yeah, you miss her, but you know, sometimes when you're in the life, it's hard to get out. Like, it was a whole thing where I was like,
male emotion.
I was like, wait, so who's Debbie? Like, and like, my boyfriend's like, I don't know. Like, it was part of the game. And I was like, wait, so...
I think this guy's crazy too.
Yeah. Oh my God. That was like the
Is there
parts...
an option to run or call the police?
Those are the parts I was interested in because I was like, oh my.
Well, the cinematics, they put a lot of time into it, so it plays out like a movie.
Yeah. The top game is Super Smash Brothers, which, as I understand it, has very little backstory or whittling.
Yeah. It's just a cult phenomenon.
Yeah.
Just Dance.
Yeah, Just Dance. So there's still a Nintendo Wii game on the fucking top 25.
Hell yeah, Wii. Keep on rocking.
Yeah. We the people.
Dance? Just I'm Dance 2019 edition. So.
Maybe I raided Amazon's old PS2 equipment and bought myself a very cheap dance mat so I could play my old copy
DDR?
Of Dance Dance Revolution.
Ooh, yes.
You can never shelf that stuff for real. It's always going to come back. Yeah. And your downstairs neighbors will never like you again.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just got to dance.
Yeah. Oh, man, I love it.
All right, we want to move on to books, which are mostly children's books. And we actually have a small...
Because adults gave up.
Yes. There's also, you know, Becoming Michelle Obama and other...
Children's book.
But there are...
I should not interpret that title as sexually as I do, but I'll be honest that I've over-sexualized the Obamas for a decade, and I haven't... I don't know how to stop.
Right.
It's healthy. But so we wanted to play a game called Kids Book or Sex Thing, because these kids' books have very strange titles that could easily be... sex things.
Yeah.
And we wanted to see if Caitlin, you could tell the difference between them. So we'll just run through a couple that are somewhat obvious. Dirty Sanchez.
Oh, that's a kid's book.
Yeah.
Yep, that is.
That's a shitty mustache.
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Wonky Donkey.
Oh man. I'm already on the fence. Wonky Donkey?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say sex.
Kids book. Number two kids book.
There's
it's
so
the
many donkey
kids
thing.
Book.
I can already
know.
Like donkey was a throw. That's a distraction.
Yeah.
They knew exactly what they were doing. What's that kids book? What is that about? What is the wonky donkey in kids land?
A silly little donkey.
Who had one short leg.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We honestly don't know. It's just the number two book overall and the number one kids book. Congress of the Cow.
That's a book?
Nope. Sex thing.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't expect to do so poorly. How about, so immediately.
Yeah. This one should be easy. The Screaming Goat.
That's a kid's book.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Good. Yes. Okay. Good. I don't have a child. What is the Congress thing? What's that? What's the sex thing?
That's just some sex move. I think that involves like the milking of a woman's breast too. That makes it the cow thing. I don't know. I just remember it from Best in Show.
Oh, okay.
That's a throwaway line in Best in Show.
I should have known then.
Yeah, but I believe
assuming
when
that's a Fred Willard utterance.
No, it's what's her face?
Catherine O'Hara.
Parker Posey.
Oh, Parker. Okay, yeah. Thank you. Did you know Catherine O'Hara just got honored in Canada yesterday? I'm sorry to interrupt with this hot piece of news. Yes. It was last week.
Yeah, for your
listeners, Catherine O'Hara got a Canadian honor, some kind
good.
Of high Canadian honor.
I mean, she's
honor.
A fucking national treasure.
Their ceremony is the most Canadian thing I have ever seen. It's so polite. It's just a little tiny room. It's very official. It's so cute. It's YouTubeable. I recommend
okay.
it.
Okay. For sure.
Congratulations to Catherine O'Hara.
100%.
The Pout Pout Fish.
The Pout Pout Fish? That's a book.
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank
Hot
goodness.
Lunch.
Hot Lunch? That's a sex thing.
You got it.
Okay, yes. What
All
is
right,
it, though?
You are on
what
a
is
roll.
The Hot Lunch?
Hot Lunch is like a very... or
it involves a handstand and just burying your face in
yeah,
somebody's...
Yeah, it's a very involved
okay,
way
I'm
of eating
that.
Ass.
It's eating
cool,
okay.
ass.
Nice, yeah. nice. But like upside down?
I imagine if you caught someone yeah. doing a somersault midway okay. and you're like, now I'm eating your ass.
I'm literally twice the size of my partner. Many of these are more possible than ever before. Okay, great.
Look it up. Oh, The Hungry Caterpillar.
That's a book.
The what Very Hungry Caterpillar.
That's also a book?
Yes. Okay. I wish there was a sex
Those are old books, right? I might have had those books.
Okay. I like The Very Hungry... No, that's a sex move. The Very Hungry Caterpillar.
The Star.
Oh, no. That's a book.
That's a sex move.
God
that's
damn it! Yeah. What is it? Sorry, Major.
It's very... It's just
you
an
You can't just bring up a sex
of,
move and then not explain
it. Wasn't
them.
Interesting. When okay. I saw it, I was like, you're calling this the star?
No, yeah,
it's like
just
a variation of
it. Sounds
missionary.
A bit like... Sick. Okay, yeah,
spread
gotcha.
Out. Brawl of the Wild?
Book?
Yes.
Okay, great.
All right.
The Berenstain Bears and the Joy of Giving.
Oh, I've done that one. That's yeah. a sex move.
That's a sex move.
Ooh, don't try in the back of a car.
All right, let's move on to the history of Black Friday.
Yeah.
Just Black Friday is the
Make America great
grandfather yeah. of Cyber Monday for yeah. all you kids out there. So we wanted to talk about just these sort of exclusively consumerist holidays.
Yeah.
Where
I mean,
they got their start.
You know, it's got all kinds of origins. I mean, if you believe everything that J.R. Smith posts on Twitter, you would believe that it stems from slavery, which is not true.
That's where I get most of my historical information.
J.R. Smith, yep, yes. exactly. But, you know, obviously Black Friday, as Americans know, it's that day after Thanksgiving where everyone just throws all their money away. But it looks like, I guess, the earliest recorded version or context seems to come from the 50s, where a lot of people would call in sick after Thanksgiving to try and basically get a four-day weekend.
Right.
And then other people said that it was used in Philadelphia because cops would refer to it because it was the day before the annual Army-Navy football game. So a bunch of tourists came into the city and traffic was a mess.
See, this makes sense to me because I was always like, well, why would they call it Black Friday? Like calling any day black seems like it would have a negative connotation.
Right.
But people are like, no, it's because like businesses are in the black.
That's another one that right. people point to. Now, yeah, so we don't really know. But again, look, this is what we're calling it. But it wasn't around until the 80s that it caught on sort of nationally because I think everybody was high on cocaine and the economy was
yeah.
doing all right, so people were like, yeah,
let's go.
Let's fucking make a fucking 80s
sale was
holiday.
All about irrational exuberance.
Oh, yeah.
Just overall, they were like, okay, how are we going to win the Cold War? We are going to win it by just fooling ourselves into like a spiral of optimism and the Soviet Union won't be able to keep up with us.
Right.
We'll just be like, we're fucking winning, man. We're winning. We're
There's
winning.
Also the thing where like if the looming threat is annihilation,
right.
then
right.
like, spend it while you got it.
Right.
Smoke them if you got
right,
them.
Right,
you know?
If you got them, guys.
But once the aughts came around is when we really started seeing like the fucking mania that we sort of see now. And
well, because we survived. We
yeah.
made it out of when we should have been annihilated. And
right.
now we have nothing. We spent it all. We smoked them all. And
right.
we don't know how to keep going.
Right.
Like,
now
we can't turn the cycle off.
Now we have to smoke them all,
yes.
basically. Yeah, and like, I didn't realize in 2008, a Walmart employee was trampled to death.
Oh, doesn't
yeah.
people die every year?
I didn't
That's
know every year.
Oh, there's
yeah.
a death count, isn't there?
No. There's a, so
Just
this
one
is,
person?
The whole thing is somewhat of a it's an
Snopey
extremely
thing.
It's a yeah it's a Snopesy
Uh-oh.
Thing. It's an extremely slow news day is
right.
the origin of all those stories and like back at Cracked, I wrote an article where I tried to look into all these different like famous stories. And the Walmart employee, there was a Walmart employee trampled to death. It was like a crazy thing where they kept everybody in the parking lot all night and like taunted them. The Walmart employees taunted them. And then like there was just a giant riot and a guy was like trying to push the doors back and it collapsed on him. And it wasn't like then everybody went just in and went shopping.
And
it
just sea-walked
like
on his body.
Yeah, everyone was like, oh my God, what happened?
Oh my God.
Yeah, so that was... Like, most of the times, people don't die. Another story that was reported that same year, like, in the same paragraph as the person dying, was that there was, like, a fight at a Toys R Us that ended with people being shot, and they made it seem like it was a fight over a product.
Right.
But it was just, like, an unrelated gang shooting.
Right.
That was, like, happened to be near a Toys R Us. But the media fucking loves this idea that, like, we become capitalist werewolves and just, like, try and kill each other.
Well, yeah, that's, yeah.
I mean... The potential is that, like, how many images of people standing in that crazy line in a parking lot and then rush? Like, why was everyone in a Walmart parking lot that night?
I don't think
a lot of questions that go back. This is not a good look.
Right. I don't think the entire phenomenon is totally made up. I think it's exaggerated by a media that is desperate for news that they can just, like, get out
ahead
that's
of and why,
not worry about.
And I think that's what has led to the spread of this phenomenon. Like, because then I think in... our writer JM, who looked into this for us, like, you know, it kind of started bubbling in Canada in like 2012 and then the UK around 2014. And I think a lot of that is born out of everyone, you know, just seeing our news clips of like, look at these maniac consumers literally busting down doors for a TV and like knife fighting over a blender.
It's capitalist running of the bulls.
Yeah, exactly. As they put it.
Except it's not, because it's just poor people. Like, it sort of is, but
sure,
like,
yeah,
rich people aren't in that scrum.
Right.
Like, this is just...
Well, this is the funny thing, because now, like, you know, the media does sort of make it look like this Hunger Games-esque, like, it does contribute to sort of this, like, class warfare thing where the media loves to go, look at all these people who, like, probably need to, like, the only way for them to be able to get gifts or things is because of these sales. And so, like, let's just watch them wild the fuck out.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and, like, let's put a compilation together of the best fucking fights at a Walmart or things like
that. Let's calculate what wage would hold them in that position,
right,
and then make sure we maintain it across an entire class, the largest class of people, and then watch them all claw at each other for a limit two TV deal.
Well, right, and exactly, and I think that's what the media coverage always often ignores, is like, why would someone be like want to take it this far to provide gifts for their family or whatever? And then you also think about how inflated the actual prices are,
exactly,
because like we're basically gaslit the whole year into thinking The price we see is what shit costs, when really that sale price is still calculated to still be profitable for the store.
The same profit by scale.
Right.
It's not like you'd reduce your profit. It's that if you sell enough, it all winds up the same.
Right.
I mean, also, the rage pushing my voice right now is that I will Postmate on Friday, and I have my fingers crossed that I have $30 extra to buy a pair of shoes.
Right.
Which would be half price. That's my concern. I can't buy I got nothing this year. I have good problems. I drove a Postmate order past a billboard for a show I wrote on, but I have good problems. I'm just in between. You know, life is what it is. But yeah, I deliver a lot of food to rich people who don't tip me. And then I have to hope that I have enough pennies to buy shoes without holes. So yeah, like, I'm not in a line at Best Buy. Maybe that's next year, fingers crossed. But like, I know the trap of not having enough to buy shoes until they tell you you're allowed to buy shoes on this day.
Right.
Yeah. Well, because that's the thing. It almost seems like this is the day when you're buying shit at the price it probably most likely you're actually paying closer to value is.
Right.
Like, because it's this one day.
I mean, closer, but nowhere near.
Yeah.
And they put an artificial limit on it. They're like, only 5 TVs. So, of course, people are going to fucking fight over it. Like, that's
and
not
resell
fair.
Them because none of us have enough. So we're going to try to make the difference, you know, later on Craigslist when you miss this. Because that's what happens after Cyber Monday and Black Friday, is the proliferation of the 3-quarter sale that exists on like Facebook sales.
Right. I mean, the one thing, though, that I thought was really interesting is like they're even like travel agencies have put together tourist packages for people to come from abroad to get in on this. And like you say, is the capitalists running of the bulls, because people are like,
oh, wow, I want to fucking see this shit go crazy or whatever. Right. And I guess also, too, there might be certain products that if you obviously are have so much disposable income, you can fly to another country to take advantage of an in-person sale day.
Yeah.
Great. More power to you and just feast on the corpse of this dying empire. But
to be fair, I would love to watch from the like top row of the Mall of America eating while I on a stick, just observing. Yeah. But I don't, I'm
and
not
just
gonna
like,
buy
wow, look at all these crazy Americans buy
oh,
this
goodness.
Shit.
Look
it's
at
great.
Them try so hard to be happy.
Oh, yeah. But, you know.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll have more Black Friday, Cyber Monday stuff in a moment. And we're back, and Super Producer Nick Stumpf just informed us that there is a little bit of wrangling going on in the story of Polaroid and Fujifilm, because there is a lawsuit from Polaroid or from Fuji. I don't know who's suing.
No, I think Polaroid is definitely suing Fuji. They're coming for their check.
And Fuji,
knock, knock, knock.
Yeah.
In their filing, was like unable to profit from like their original IP and like in the death throes of their shitty business.
Defendant cometh for us.
So they're, that is going down.
I mean, help them out, you know? They open the door for you,
don't
Fuji.
Be rude. Dance with them. Who brung you?
Yeah. Thank you. Who brung you?
One of the details of Black Friday that I especially liked from that article from years ago is actually Black Friday determined when Thanksgiving is, not the other way around.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah. So Thanksgiving was originally set as, originally it didn't really have a set date, and then Abraham Lincoln set it as the last Thursday in November.
Right.
And he wasn't thinking, that sometimes there are five Thursdays in November and you're going to really shorten the shopping season. And so they actually set it on the fourth Thursday in November to extend the shopping season so that you would never have it on the 5th.
Right.
So you would never have like a very short shopping season. They did it. It was FDR who did it in 1939 because they were trying to get out of the Depression and they were like, we really can't afford a short shopping season. And so that is how we got Thanksgiving on the day it is because of Black Friday, essentially.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
which
as long as
sense. I mean, that's. That's who
If you're and also if you're trying to get out of the Depression, you know, we had to do a lot to get out of the Depression, like fight a war or whatever. But, you know, let's get the machine moving, baby.
Yeah. World War II is a false flag. Just so everybody knows.
Yeah.
Come on,
you know how many times I've said that when people remind me on December 7th?
Right.
I'm like, okay.
Come on.
Pearl Harbor. All right.
Right.
Okay.
Really short in the shopping season.
Yeah. Really short. Really took a damper in the shopping season.
But yeah.
Except for bullets, weirdly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that did pretty well.
Oddly enough.
Bullets are crushing it.
So since that day, it's always been that Thursday.
The fourth Thursday.
There was like a weird little civil war where certain states were like, nah, we're doing it on the previous day that we used to celebrate it. And there was like some back and forth. It was like a very lethargic civil war that happened for like 2 years. And then they were just like, nah.
They fell
fine.
In line.
Yeah. Fine, whatever. So
Arizona, just do daylight saving time already.
Exactly.
Yeah, fucking God, they're so independent, huh?
Yeah. But yeah, I guess this is just a good time to think of your local Amazon worker or just any.
Well, yeah. Well, that's another thing too, actually, about Black Friday is like that also did spur on a lot of you know, activism within employees who worked in Amazon warehouse, especially in Europe. Like in Spain, where they were like, fuck that. Like, we're not doing a fucking thing till you address the working conditions. And, you know, I hope they can address that across all of the Amazon facilities.
Don't worry, they won't.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just a sorry to bother you world. Yeah. Don't worry. We all know how this ends.
The darkness of, the Black Friday.
It's, I don't know. I've told you I'm a, you know, you already know that I am a gig economy worker at the Mo, and I've done retail. Man, good jobs and bad jobs. You know what it takes to sit in this seat.
Right.
But yeah, the way people behave, the entitlement that people have to your time because you wear an apron and a name tag in that in this season is terrible.
Yeah.
Your barista knows you.
Yeah.
Your behavior and the way you conduct yourself on a day like that, on a holiday, on the day after a holiday, when somebody is giving you literally the most valuable thing, literally the only priceless thing in the world, their time,
yeah,
and you treat them like garbage, it just shows. It's yeah. one of those things that if you're buying a great deal on that day, the person in front of you that's conducting the transaction is not with their family and isn't doing anything that they want. They yeah. are suffering for you to enjoy this giddy discount. It's yeah. just a terrible, terrible time. And that frenzy of like, oh boy, I get to going shopping. It's like you're not everybody who goes Black Friday shopping. There are, I'll put a low number at a dozen and as many as 50 people who gave their time to you that day.
Right.
The person who, you know, the ticket taker at the parking garage, the person who like waves at you at the beginning of the mall, the 10 employees who asked you if you needed anything,
right.
the 5 that ran you up. Those are all miserable people not earning enough money to justify yeah. taking away their time. It's just awful.
Just consider they're taking that shift because they'll get holiday time and a half pay, like especially because some places open as early as fucking Thanksgiving Day.
Of course.
You know
yes.
what I mean?
I mean, and holidays are, if you work in retail, the idea that you're celebrating the holiday, that's just giggleable. That's the best joke I would have told on any podcast this year.
Right.
You're not
right.
doing it. You're working. You're yeah. working.
We expect you to be extra cheerful on this
yeah,
day.
Yeah, uh-huh. You better have some big, bright smiles.
Right.
But, yeah.
It really is the thing that I first noticed, like when being abroad and then coming back to America, the way that Americans treat like employees, just the person behind the counter that they're buying something from, is just, it's different than the way people are treated in other
yeah,
countries.
Yeah, well, we have like, this exceptional attitude about like, well, if I'm the consumer, the customer is yeah. always right, and the customer is always a raging demon asshole
yeah.
to people who are working.
That was the like the biggest difference that I noticed. It's just like this imperceptible, but like it's really there.
Well, it's so weird. Like you're saying, like the second someone dons a uniform or something, and it's like in a retail space or server space or mm-hmm. whatever, it's like, oh, you're not a person who might be my relative
yes.
or me at some point.
Right.
And I think unless you've actually done retail, like, you know, then you might not have that perspective. And, you know, I would urge people who have not had the opportunity to work a job like that. I certainly, you know, worked at the mall during holiday season. We're just fucking out here, too.
Right.
Now I'm a second-rate podcaster. But, yes, there is something just sort of – it sums up the American attitude, too, of just sort of like, well, I'm here in this capacity to give my money to you, which means – I'm afforded these luxuries of treating you like garbage.
And I guess if you're out shopping on Black Friday and you have a shitty job, maybe you're not treated all that great all year and you want somebody to lavish you with attention. But
yeah.
that's about you. And nobody in an apron owes you that. I just think it's a dark, like, sure, enjoy the deals, have fun with your family. But there's always an edge to Black Friday that makes me so sad. Like,
yeah,
it's just such a ugh, gross yeah.
and
way
that,
to celebrate anything. Take
a
walk.
And a
you
big,
know,
well, that's what
Lord.
Like REI does. Like, I don't think REI is open. Then they're like, hey, go outside with your family,
right?
Which I'm like, oh, look at you, REI.
But I think a big reason that Amazon is now the biggest company and Jeff Bezos is the richest person in the history of the world besides Vladimir Putin is because people are able to avoid that interpersonal interaction where they have to like, you know, see the person.
Right, and understand.
You know, now you just get to have, like, that supply chain of 12 jobs where people are being treated like shit just behind a closed
door.
It's
obscured,
yeah.
It's a very sterile shopping experience.
Never have to see them. But,
yeah.
Yeah,
but they're pissing in a bottle somewhere, and they're doing it
right.
for you.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, capitalism makes me sad. You caught me on a dark day just trying to make sure that, like...
No, but that's like the
know.
Double-edged sword of this, right? It's
and
like
course,
on one side, you're like, oh, deals, and the other side, you're like, oh, capitalism.
And why do I have these problems? Because I, person with a college degree who is white and extraordinarily privileged, have decided to, air quote, chase my dream.
Right.
And why are these couple of months super hard economically? Because, baby, I'm writing a pitch. I have a show to sell. Like,
right.
I have good problems.
Yeah, yeah,
all
yeah.
problems that I have chosen, and still looking at the world on a Black Friday or a Cyber Monday is just a chilling glimpse.
Yeah.
And if you happen to be on the bottom of the shoe, it is an ugly world.
Yeah.
Enjoy it if you're the one walking. But the people under your shoes are, it's a long day. It's a long day.
Be aware, you know, especially during the shopping season.
Oh my God, tip your Postmates.
But what you were saying about how your barista knows you, that was one of the types of articles that Robert Evans, who hosts Behind the Bastards, started writing these, like, we called them personal experience, but basically we would just interview people with jobs, and they were like, yeah, people just don't see us.
Yeah.
So we're able to just sit there and, like, witness people's behavior. And,
right.
Like, some of the most interesting articles we had were just from people who, like, worked at a high-end hotel, and they're like, people are fucking barbarians. Like, here's the sorts of behavior you see. Like, but it's just because I think there is that American feeling that I've earned this, so you don't have to exist as a human being to me.
I've also been guilty of this, that I think none who walk among us can say they've never done this, that
yeah.
We as Americans, not unique, but it's cultural to us, that we have this well of rage that just exists from our daily lives because it naturally makes us angry.
Yeah.
And occasionally it feels really good to let it out, and sometimes you just do it to a service professional.
Yeah.
My apologies to phone representatives that I've contacted from companies that made me mad.
Right.
The nice lady who answered the phone at Hewlett-Packard did not deserve my ire
right.
over my printer.
But have you tried turning it on
cleansed.
And off?
Have cleansed
you tried plugging
when I
it in and unplugging
I, all,
it?
I don't know!
Did you reinstall the drivers?
I just felt like screaming unintelligibly at somebody,
right.
and
yeah.
then my printer worked again, and I felt better. That poor person didn't, but
right.
we've all done it. We all carry stress and rage that's really fun to let loose on someone like a barista, but I promise you I could tell the difference between the grouchy nurse and the entitled turd that was just ordering a fucking non-fat, vanilla, sugar-free,
yeah.
decaf atrocity.
Right. Of course.
My dog's whimpering again. She can feel my stress right.
There you go. Yeah, but give her the treats.
Well, Caitlin, it's been wonderful having you.
Well, y'all are the best. Thank you, Zeit Gang.
Where can people find you, follow you?
Venmo you even.
Oh, my
You know, this
goodness.
Holiday season.
Yeah.
Let's get you a pair of shoes.
I'm pretty sure I'm Caitlin Is Tall on Venmo.
At Caitlin Is Tall, CAITLIN.
ISTALL. It would be so hilarious. And nobody's obligated. I told you my problems are mine because I did this to myself. I built this world. But yeah, I'm pretty sure that's me on all the things. Oh, Jesus. If I'm at Caitlin-Gill-3 on Venmo. That helps no one.
Go.
What's your avatar look like so they know?
It's my stupid face with a mohawk. I'm in a black V-neck. It's a shot by Kim Newmoney, incredible photographer. She photographed Hillary Clinton. The highs, the lows. What a life I lead. You can find me at Caitlin-Gill-3 at Venmo. You can find me at Caitlin Is Tall on Instagram and Robot Caitlin on Twitter. You can also find me, if you're in the LA area, on the 29th at the Good Night in Burbank, or on December 1st at the Hollywood Improv Lab.
Nice.
All right.
Wow, Miles. Shows to plug.
Yeah.
What do you know?
Hey.
Miles, where can people find you?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
How about in person?
In person, I don't know, just wherever, on the streets, probably.
When you hit Navon's.
I'm more of a Ralph's guy.
You don't have a live show coming up?
Oh, yeah, we got a live show coming up this week, Thursday, November 29th, at the UCB Sunset Theater. We're doing a live Daily Zeitgeist show with Jack and I. The whole gang will be there, even Jamie Loftus. And then on December 1st, we will be in Chicago doing a Daily Zeitgeist live show at the Chicago Theater Works. Yo, those tickets are about to get sold out, so buy your tickets now. And guess what? One of y'all will come on stage and be, you know, give us an over, under, and myth. So don't be a lame. Get the tickets just the same. Thank you. Capitalism, baby.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. We didn't do our favorite tweets. Does everybody have tweets that they want to share? Let's share some tweets with our...
I have one tweet.
All right. Give us one tweet.
Well, one tweet was actually referred to me by a Zeit Gang member, recommended to me by Erica Averill. I think you are the woman who named her dog after me, dog named Miles.
That's a huge honor.
That's a huge honor, and the dog is wonderful looking, so I'll take it as it comes. I love her doctress, and her reference was, I feel like this was written just for you, Miles. And the headline is, report, the average woman fucks 9 spiders per year. All about fucking spiders, mate.
Not here to.
Yeah, we're not here to fuck spiders, mate. Sorry.
Caitlin,
come on.
Do you have a tweet that you've been enjoying?
Yes.
I say it as if like you've enjoyed it over a long process. You've
what?
Just been thinking back to it. Do you have a tweet you've been enjoying?
Well, recently, and because I cooked and have been cooking, here's a tweet from Talia Jane. Can't sleep because I can't stop thinking of all the people who don't know how to take care of their cast iron. And that is deeply true. If
you gotta oil it. Condition that shit.
What's funny is that I opened the tweet to read the thread thinking that we surely had the same strategies for taking care of her cast iron. And we did not.
Wow.
And I consider her instructions a betrayal of cast iron tradition. But however you take care of your cast iron, you care about your cast iron.
Be good to your cast iron.
Be good to your cast iron.
Mm-hmm.
Universally agreed, don't put it in the dishwasher.
Oh my God. Do people do that?
People do that. Did you hear the pain in your voice?
Ridiculous people do.
Thank you, everyone.
Respect the cast iron.
Some tweets I've been enjoying. John Boyce tweeted, Idiocracy is basically a frickin' movie at this point. Everett Byram at Rad Milk tweeted, On a mission to eat all 50 state birds, which I thought was appropriate for today.
I like that.
And the Mountain Goats tweeted, Sing us a song, you're the piano man. Everyone who plays piano can sing. Don't argue with me, I'm a real estate novelist. Reasonably sure that's a thing.
wow.
Because that song makes no sense.
Can I offer from Nathan Lund, this is deeply in the past, but this is one of my favorite tweets ever. Welcome to Mar-a-Lago, this is my dad's resort. I think about that tweet every day.
That might be my favorite tweet we've
This
ever.
Is my dad's resort.
All right, you can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where they go to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. You can also find that information in the show notes on whatever podcast listening application you're listening on. Miles, what song are we going to ride out on?
Dude, welcome to Mar-a-Lago.
Thank
Nepotism,
you.
No reading. I think I would do today's song. We will do.
Can't wake him up for the policy briefing.
Oh my God! Wow. See, we're gonna have to pop over.
Might just have to extend this and write that whole song.
This track is going. Let's do one by a band called Show Me the Body. It's called Metallic Taste. That's just I feel like just for this dark mood we're in. But this is actually a cool band.
Can I say
or could be artists.
Sweet to your audience before I go that I love the Zeit Gang. I love coming in here. Your fans are always really nice on Twitter, which is a rare quality for any fan. Also, thank you for indulging my past tense, post tense. I don't understand how time or holidays work.
No,
but I hope
it's
you had
fine.
A lot of fun over Thanksgiving.
Really
and it's a pleasure
one.
To spend this holiday time.
Oh, and it's an
with
honor
y'all.
To have you. And we're thankful for the Zeit Gang too, because
they
I don't know
rule.
How we don't have
know.
A toxic fandom.
You
yet.
Truly don't. And it's I don't know Zeit Gang if you know how rare you are out there, but Zeit Gang, you are powerful and you are splendid.
And you're making Houlihan, Hot Lips Houlihan.
Hot Lips can
howl
barely
at you.
Take it.
But yeah, this is Show Me the Body, Metallic Taste.
And this has been an end of the Daily Zeitgeist to reward all the people who listened to the end, because that was a fun ending. You guys are the best, Caitlin and Miles. All right, guys, we're gonna ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you guys then. Bye.
Happen like it did out in Rockaway. I still say when I hit the grave, sailors moving on this next wave, the next blade for me. Metallic taste, metallic waves, getting me back in the day. But shit has changed, type pentagram instead of graves. They got me thinking about my next wave, and I'm leaning with the blade again. Stuck losing friends, buck teeth sinking in.